It's so funny to be in a church service singing in Russian. I remember one time we were in a church in Pennsylvania, and a guy came in a few minutes late. I was singing in Russian when he walked in, and he kind of like, am I in the right place here? You guys are singing in tongues or what, you know?
So
this is what a friend we have in Jesus.
Okay.
And I'm going to sing the same thing in English, Russian, and Hungarian, okay? So you can be your own interpreter. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Stoza druga mi celebrated 27 years as missionaries in July. Can you imagine that, preacher? 27 years in July. I can't believe it. Graduated from the Institute, HBI, Heritage Baptist Institute in 1992, 2019. It's amazing what God's done. And young people, it's amazing what God can do if you just say, you're mine.
Amen.
You know, I can remember talking with the preacher last time about some of the shenanigans they did with our kids when we were here the first time. And here he is, the pastor. Wow! Open your Bible, if you will, to Habakkuk chapter 2. I'll give you some time to find it. It's in the Old Testament, right next to Nahum. Right. I love reading the Bible, and we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Now, it's already 8 o'clock. What time do you want me to finish up by? Okay, yeah, 8:30, that'd be good. Okay, 9, 10. All right, okay. Like I say, we're staying close here tonight, so I don't have far to drive, isn't it? All right, Habakkuk chapter 2, and let's look at verse 20. Verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. In Matthew, it says that where two or three are gathered in his name, the Lord is here. Okay, there are more than two or three that are gathered here tonight. And as the preacher said, I also enjoyed just listening to the different people pray. That's a blessing. Okay. Tonight, I'm going to talk about a holy hush. Chapter 3, we're going to talk about Habakkuk's prayer. But I want to, before we get started in that, I want to go back up to the beginning of Habakkuk and look at some of the things there. Before we begin, though, we're going to have just a minute or two of a holy hush. Okay, I want everybody to just be quiet for a moment, close your eyes, and just pray that God would help me as I preach, and pray that God would help you as you listen, and then as the sign says there, that God, right there, that God would help us to trust and obey. One of the sayings that I have, and it's just three small points, I want to learn something every day. Lord, help me to obey it, and then help me to go and teach others. Okay, that's my whole life. That's our whole life right there. Learn, obey, and teach others. So let's just take a minute or two. We'll have just a holy hush, and then I'll close in prayer. We'll get started here. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. God, I pray that you'll teach us something from the Word of God tonight, that you help us to obey it. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to go into all the world to teach others. Lord, as the sign on the pulpit says, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Or so many Christians are trying to be happy without trusting, without obeying. It's not going to happen. Father, again, I pray that you'll bless our time together tonight. God, I pray you bless this church in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, I keep pushing this thing down. It's going to be down on the ground here before I'm done, and I'm going to have to with a magnifying glass on there or something, okay? Chapter 2, verse 1. Let's look at these verses right here. There's the first four verses. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. The watchman, okay? I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. Now, it's funny, you got the word watch and you got tower. And of course, we got watchtower, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses. We have a lot of them in Hungary, and they are everywhere. And it's so funny because people, you know, they're really the only ones that are passing out literature in Hungary, it seems like. And when we pass out literature, everybody thinks that we're Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, of course, when I run into a Jehovah's Witness, I witness to them, and I tell them, well, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, too. Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament. Boy, they don't want to think about that. Then I'll tell them, you know, my favorite compound name of Jehovah, Jehovah Nissi. Exodus chapter 17, the Lord our banner. You know, the Lord is a man of war. You know, and some of the other Jehovah names, and I'm talking to them, and, you know, what's your favorite Jehovah compound name, you know? And they just look at me like I just dropped down here from Mars somewhere, you know? It's kind of funny. But I do tell them, you know, I'm a Jehovah Witness, and Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament. Amen. But I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Now, God has given me a very simple 3-point outline for my life. It's called reading, writing, and running. And running is the practice, okay? Here he says to write the vision. Now, if you're going to write something, obviously you've got to read it first, okay? You see the vision, you got to go, wow, what's that all about? Okay, all right. So he writes the vision, he reads it, he writes it. And then it says that he may run that readeth it. Now, Scofield in the Scofield Bible has a good note that says, in other words, when a person reads the scriptures, he is to run as a messenger to tell others what the message is all about. And that's what the running is, reading, writing, and running. Now, for a long time, when I first got to, I went to Bible college in Rootstown near Akron back in 1980. I went there for 2.5 years, and there were some problems over the King James Bible, and I ended up leaving the school there. But there was a humble Bible teacher from Cleveland Baptist Church, Bruce Musselman.
Amen.
One of my heroes.
Amen.
One of my heroes. And I always preached here many times, Brother Lanham many times. He's preached for a lot of those guys. And one of my heroes. But he taught us in every class why the King James Bible is the Word of God. And boy, I love Brother Musselman. I love his teaching about that. And, of course, the Baptist history aspect of his ministry. But there was another guy that was a Greek professor, and he ended up, you know, preaching Greek, and, you know, and there's problems in our Bible and all that stuff. And I thought, how can you have both of those guys teaching at the same time in the college? It would just seem so weird to me. But anyhow, I ended up leaving the school there in the middle of my third year, and then finally I ended up back in Cleveland in 1990, going to the Bible Baptist, or the Heritage Baptist Institute there in Cleveland. But Brother Musselman in the early days, 1980, said, for you young preachers here, you should read at least 10 chapters a day in a Bible. You'll get through the whole Bible 3 times a year. You say, wow, that's a lot. Well, for me, the next day, I read 10 chapters. Man, that's not too hard. So I read 20 chapters. So long story short, for the next 20 years, I was reading the Bible through 6 times a year. Amazing. What is that, 120 times? Amazing, the things you see in the Bible. Then after we got to Russia, I began a new schedule, and I actually began, it's a Bible principle called tithing. You like that, amen? Preachers like that, you talk about tithing. They don't like to talk about tithing because everybody says, oh, he just wants more money. Well, I'm a missionary. Yeah, if you give me more money, I'll take more money. And believe me, preachers ask me, you know, we go to new churches, and they say, how's your support? And I say, well, it's doing pretty good, but if we had more, we could do more. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I agree with that, you know. I'm sure if I asked this preacher if he's got enough money for the church or if he's got enough workers for the ministry, he would say, you know, if we had more, we could do more. You know? Well, I started tithing my time reading the Bible. I know this is going to sound crazy, but I began reading the Bible about 40 chapters a day. Now, there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible, and if you will round it up to 1,200, 1,200 divided by 40 is 30 days. I've been reading the Bible every month for almost the last 20 years. And it has changed my life drastically. What I do, actually in my Bible cover, that Bible cover there, I got a calendar or a schedule of my reading. I mean, the preacher, I could take a picture, send it to the preacher or something. But you guys can look at that. I read some chapters in the history part. I read 5 chapters in the Psalms. I read 1 chapter in Proverbs. Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon is one group. I read 1 chapter there. I read 10 chapters in the Prophets, 10 chapters in the New Testament. Many times, the prophecies I see that are fulfilled in the Old Testament, in the history, the Psalms and the Prophets, many times they are fulfilled all on the same day. For example, on the first day, I read Isaiah chapter 7, the virgin birth of Christ. Prophecy is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1. The name Jesus, Savior, the plan of God, Emmanuel, God with us. You know, when somebody makes me an offer like God did, eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, the question I have is, can he really do that? Does he have the power to do that? Well, Emmanuel, his name means God with us. Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Counselor, should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Jesus, Emmanuel, Emmanuel Baptist Church, amen?
Amen.
God with us. Yes, he has the power to do everything that he said he can do, okay? So I began reading. Isaiah chapter 9 talks about the people in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the people which sat in darkness have seen great light. In Matthew chapter 4, we see the fulfillment of that. The people in Zebulun and Naphtali, the people that sat in darkness, have seen a great light, and that great light is Jesus Christ. So there we see prophecies fulfilled in the Old Testament, prophesied in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament. And man, it's just amazing as you go through the Bible and see all those prophecies and the fulfillment all on the same day. Now, I know people say, Brother Jim, it sounds like you're speed reading the Bible. Now, I said I'm tithing, right? In order to read about 40 chapters a day, it takes me about 2 hours and a half, 2 hours and 45 minutes, sometimes 3 hours, because I take a lot of notes in my Bible. Now, I've got a new wide margin Bible here. I don't have a lot of notes in this Bible yet, but I'm giving a Bible to all my kids. And I just gave Sharon a wide margin Bible that's got a lot of notes in it. So you can look at that. Andrew's got one too. And he can show you all the notes that I take in that Bible. But God has done so much in my life, and I tell people over and over, it's not me, it's the Bible. The Bible will change your life, okay? Joshua chapter 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt observe to do it day and night that thou mayest. I better read it. I'm messing it up. I'm having a hard time going back between English and Hungarian. But in our time now, it's 8 o'clock. In our time in Hungary now, it's a little bit after 2 o'clock in the morning. So jet lag is real, okay? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Listen to this. What is our success? Boy, I'm having a hard time thinking how to say it. How do we have good success? Who is responsible for our success? I know everybody says, well, all success is from God. Okay. Yeah, amen. Okay. But what does Joshua 1 say?
Sure.
For then, now, I'm a Bible writer too, and I'm going to talk about that next, okay? For then, you shall make thy way, then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. We are responsible for the success we have as Christians. Now, by success, I'm not talking about living in a big fancy house and driving a big fancy car. I'm talking about knowing and doing the will of God. And if you want to know the will of God, You can know it. You got to read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. Reading. Okay? Then he says, write the vision. Now, go back to Deuteronomy 17. In the May of 1990, I finished my first semester at HBI there in Cleveland. And I got such a blessing out of being in the Bible Institute, all the preaching and teaching that I heard. And I thought, Lord, what can I do during the summer to keep this revival going in my life? And the Lord kind of gave me the idea about writing out the New Testament. And I actually made a promise, okay, that I would write out a chapter a day. Now, some chapters, like Luke chapter 1, has 80 verses. I asked the Lord if I could cut it in half. And of course, yeah, cut it in half. The Lord's very gracious, amen. Let me say this about reading. People say, well, you read the Bible every month, you must speed read. Have you ever listened to Alexander Scorby read the Bible out loud? I used to listen to him on cassette, you know. Some of the different Christian radio stations even have periods of time where he'll read the Bible out loud. He can read the whole Bible out loud in 72 hours. Think about that. If you would read the Bible an hour a day, you could get through the whole Bible 2.5 months. And if you could do that, that would be 5 times a year. Think about that. Have you ever heard him read? He's an English gentleman. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. It's not speed reading, okay? I'm just saying, if you would give God more time, you'd be surprised how much Bible you could read in a day. We used to go to the Fellowship Track League camp meetings when we were back in the States in the early days, starting out in the spring. At 7 o'clock, they would have Bible study and prayer meeting from 7 to 8. The first half hour, they would have a man come to the pulpit. He'd open his Bible, and he would read a chapter. He would read the chapter out loud. Another man would come up to the pulpit with his Bible, and he'd read the next chapter. And they'd read through the whole Bible like that, and they've done that for a long time in their ministry. Every day, every morning, they have a staff meeting with the people in the church, and they read the Bible out loud. In 30 minutes, they can read 8 chapters in the Bible. That includes that man walking down, another man walking up, opening his Bible. You know, 8 people coming up and down, and they can read 8 chapters in a half an hour. That's 16 chapters in an hour, 32 chapters in 2 hours, 40 chapters, 2.5 hours, out loud. Think about that. Think about that. It's not speed reading. We go to a Buckeye meeting, or we go to Gold Corral or something with a bunch of preachers. I guarantee you something. We're going to eat a whole lot of food, aren't we, Brother Fleming? But we're going to talk a lot too, aren't we? Oh, yeah. If we're in there for 2 hours, believe me, we're going to walk out of there with full bellies. But we're going to fellowship a lot too. You read the Bible for 2.5 hours, you're going to read a lot of Bible, but you're also going to talk to the Lord a lot. Wow, Lord, I never saw that before. And about reading and writing the Bible, you start writing the Bible, and you're going to see things in the Bible that you never saw before. Because you're looking at every single word very carefully. Deuteronomy chapter 17. In verses 18 to 20, it talks about the duties of a king. God knew that Israel would choose a king, and beginning in chapter 14, he gives them some requirements about a king. But look what it says in verse 18. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. The duty of a king was to write out a copy of the law. And as I've been challenging people since 1990 to write out the Bible, when I finished the New Testament in 9 months, 260 chapters, you split a bunch of them in half where there's, you know, 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 verses, you split those in half, you could easily write out the New Testament in 9 months. Easily. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 only has 10 verses. You could write that out in about 10 minutes. You could write out almost the whole book of 1 Thessalonians on a Sunday afternoon. If you skip your nap, amen? I don't skip my nap too often anymore. But the duty of a king was to write it out. And again, I've challenged preachers. Before I ever went to Russia, I told you I wrote out the New Testament in 9 months, and I thought, well, what should I do now? And I said, well, everybody thinks I'm crazy. Let's just start Genesis and go to Malachi. And long story short, we went to Russia November 1st, 1994, and just the week before, I finished the book of Malachi. So just 4 years and a couple months, I actually wrote out the whole Bible in English before I ever went to Russia. And when I went to Russia, immediately I started writing out the New Testament in Russian. And I did that 3 times when we were in Russia. And this Hungarian New Testament right here is my 4th Hungarian New Testament in 11 years. They use the same alphabet we do. They have some accent marks on some of the letters. That's a little bit different. But if you really want to learn the Bible, write it out. And I've challenged preachers, and I've talked to him. Brother Skyver down in Ravenna, I preached this in his church quite a few years ago when we were still in Russia on a Wednesday night. And I challenged him. Brother Skyver was teaching through the book of Romans on Sunday morning, Sunday school. And he and the men on his staff, they said, we're going to write out the book of Romans. And Brother Skyver called me a couple weeks later. And he said, Brother Jim, he said, last Sunday morning, I apologized to the church. And I said, folks, if you don't mind, we're going to start over in Romans chapter 1. Because like Brother Jim had said, there are a lot of things in chapter 1 that I don't think I've ever seen before. And I just skipped over them. But now that I'm writing out, I've written out that first chapter, I've seen a lot of things in chapter 1 that I don't think I've ever seen before. And the importance is, I had a preacher one time told me I was wasting my time writing out the Bible. And then when I got to Deuteronomy and I wrote out Deuteronomy 17, I thought, I wonder if he's ever read the book of Deuteronomy. Oh, he read it, but he just skipped over that part. Now I know. Everybody said, Brother Jim, that's for the kings. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, now unto him that has washed us in his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God.
Amen.
King James, right here. King James. I've got a handwritten King James Bible that I've written out by hand. Amen. King James. We are King James, right?
Yes, sir.
There's King Matthias. And you know which Bible he writes out, don't you? The King James Bible. Amen. Think about that. Okay. All right. But reading, writing. What's the importance of writing? Jonathan Edwards, probably one of the greatest minds in America in the early 1700s, he said, if you really want to learn something, write it out. Many times you've read a chapter in the Bible, you close your Bible, and sometimes you couldn't even tell me what book you're reading. But if you'll write it out, there are times I've closed my Bible and I say, okay, James chapter 1, first verse, second verse, third verse. I could almost give you a verse-by-verse Bible exposition about each one of those verses after I've written it out. It sticks with you a lot longer. And you'll be surprised what Bible reading will do. Okay, let's go back to Habakkuk. Habakkuk, well, I should have put my marker in there, right? There we go. Okay, the Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Reading, writing, and running. Boy, our time's flying. 1 Corinthians 9, the end of the chapter, talks about running the race. He says the world, they run a race, they get a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Okay, Paul talks about, I so run not to beat the air. I keep my body under subjection. Okay, he says, I want to run the race. I want to run the race. And if you look at the verses before that, it talks about being all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul's talking about running with the gospel to the whole world. That is our job as a church. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm thrilled that your preacher got to go with his daughter and spend a month in India. Yeah. I remember the story of a young preacher at Fellowship Track League who got to go to India and Sri Lanka many years ago. He was a comfortable preacher in a comfortable area of Cincinnati, had a nice, comfortable church, had a nice, comfortable house, had a nice, comfortable car, and he went to India with his father-in-law, and God broke his heart for India and Sri Lanka. And he went back and he told the church, he said, church, I'm sorry, but I'm resigning. God has broken my heart, and I'm going back to Sri Lanka as a missionary. Oh, yeah. The job of this church, the mission of this church, is to go to all the world. Okay, that he may run. Our job, trust and obey. When you learn something in church, your job is to run with it, to go into all the world to teach others. Now, I'm a runner, and I got to run with the preacher and his daughter, where's she at? She's out somewhere. Trying to figure out, I don't see her later. But anyhow, got to run. Now, the preacher was kind of hobbling today because he hurt his back. Some people make any excuse to not run, but not just but I like to run, and I'm running because I, you know, to help with sugar and, you know, getting old. The old preacher used to say this many years ago. When I got saved, God gave me two things, a horse and a message. And they go like this, alas, I killed the horse, and I can't deliver the message. Got a preacher back there sitting in a chair in the middle of the aisle. His horse is almost gone. He can't deliver the message anymore. He'll deliver the message as long as he's alive. Yep. But a lot of those young preachers, boy, they just wear themselves out early. And a lot of them died when they were young. Now, a lot of them did a lot more in their young age than many of them did in their old age. Now, let's go to Habakkuk 3:1. Habakkuk 3:1. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, verse 2, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk here prays, oh Lord, revive thy word. When we come back to the States for furlough, right now I'm a missionary to America. Right now I'm a missionary to Emmanuel Baptist Church. Amen. You folks have supported us for a long time. But I want to challenge you tonight. Lord, would you revive the work here at Emmanuel? God, help us to reach Talmadge.
Amen.
Help us to reach Akron. Help us to reach the United States. Help us to reach the whole world. We were shopping here. We have to buy some things. When we come back, we stopped at the shoe sensation out here, got some shoes, and a young lady behind the cash register was from Jamaica. See, how do you know that? Well, I asked her, where are you from? She's from Jamaica. And, you know, I think she lived down in Alabama before that. I tell people, yeah, we're doing missionary work overseas in Budapest, Hungary, my wife and I. And, you know, I said, where are you from? She said, well, I'm here. If they live here, but I used to live in Alabama, but I'm from Jamaica. When I was in the Navy, stationed in Cuba, I got to go to Jamaica 3 times. I wish I was saved when I went to Jamaica, but I don't like to talk about stuff like that. But she's from Jamaica. But I gave her a track, and then Sharon came in there, and we gave her one of your tracks. Sharon gave her a phone number and all this stuff, so she's hooked up hopefully so she'll be in church or something. See, that's my goal as a missionary. I'm trying to get people in this area to come here to Emmanuel. See, that's my job. That's your job, too. And you need to help us, help your missionaries on the field, pray for us, support us financially, and if you want, come over and visit us. Amen? We need to pray, as Habakkuk did right here. O Lord, revive thy work. We need to pray that God will revive the work here. Amen. If you want to, I can show you my Hungarian New Testament afterwards. And our time's gone. Pastor Thompson told us years ago, finish on time. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the good day you've given us. God, I pray you'd help us to read, to write, and to run with the Scripture to the whole world. God, revive thy work here at Emmanuel with our Baptist brethren all around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.